after me, I guess you wanted me to give, send the planner, not planner, or architect, everything for Camden. We have renovation plans. I sent it, and Nasser isn't necessarily the fastest guy. I was with him Monday night. He was telling me he's looking to retire now anyway.
Okay, gang, is everyone ready?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to this special day in the United States, June 19th. And history is amazing. If you don't know, look it up. It's fantastic. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Roll call.
Chairman Rivera.
Here.
Vice Chair Miller. Mayor Dodd. Commissioner Vizioli.
Here.
Council Member Santana.
Here.
Commissioner Orama.
Here.
Commissioner Rondono. Commissioner Island.
Here.
Commissioner Insera. Commissioner Gilmore.
Wonderful. I'd like to want to do the.
Yeah. This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. Also known as the Sunshine NJSA 10:4-6. Notice of the 2025 meeting schedule was sent to the Daily Record and published in the Daily Record on February 3rd, 2025. The annual meeting list was also posted on the Municipal Bulletin Board in Town Hall, on the Town of Dover website, and submitted to the Town Clerk. As a reminder, there is no smoking in this building. There are two exits in case of emergency, and this meeting is not streaming on Facebook Live. However, the audio will be posted in a timely manner to the town website.
Thank you, Paula. Paula, we missed the alternate on the name on the roll call. So that would be.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Reese.
Commissioner Ryan.
Right
here.
Thank you. We almost forgot you, but no.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay, I would ask anyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did everyone receive the April 17th minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I need a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make that motion.
I second it.
Thank you.
Chairman.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We have three resolutions on our agenda. That's P2405, that's 19 Liberty Street. We're doing one at a time. Or we can do them as a group. What do you say? All right. So P2405, 19 Liberty Street. We need a motion to accept that resolution.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We have P2502, 150 Princeton Avenue, minor subdivision approval with variance relief.
So moved.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
And we have P2503, 126 East Dickerson Street, minor site plan approval with waiver relief. Motion approved.
Make that motion.
Second. Thank you. we're good, right?
What?
Mr. Allen, you haven't voted on the motion yet. There's a motion and a second that you just need to ask them to vote on.
Okay. So vote on the motion. We all in favor? Roll call.
Chairman Rivera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Miller? Commissioner Vizioli?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Rama?
Yes.
Commissioner, Council Member Santana?
Yes.
Commissioner Maldonado? Commissioner Islin?
Yes.
And Commissioner Riley?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, on our applications, the P2504, that's 141 Lincoln Avenue, has been carried to August 21st, and there'll be no further notice on that. Is anybody in the public here for that case? Okay, thank you. All right, moving forward, we have P2505, that's 100 Grace Street, block 1501, lot 1. The Town of Dover Board of Education intends to install permanent classroom units at the subject property at block 1501 to address overcrowding conditions and underhoused students in the school district. The proposed improvements include an addition of prefabricated modular classrooms built with 14 classrooms, a large group instruction area, and supporting rooms and utilities. The proposed annex will sit atop the existing asphalt tennis courts and bus parking lot. The subject property lies within the industrial office park district. Okay.
Just, Chairman, so you're aware, this is a Section 31 application, which means the board doesn't vote on this. This is coming in front of the board because it's an expenditure of taxpayer funds, and so basically presented to the board as a courtesy. The board has the right to make comments on it, but mainly the concern is you just want to make sure that it's in line with the master plan, and if you find it in line with the master plan, you'll just recommend it to the mayor and council.
Very good. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Chairman, I'm John Crude. I'm the attorney for the Board of Education. I recognize some of the faces. We've been here on a few other applications. We appreciate your time. I want to thank Ms. Mendelson for her courtesy and professionalism in helping us get here. I'm mostly a school board attorney as opposed to a land use attorney. So, I was going to read, you basically read in your introductory remarks most of what the information is about the project. We have the architects here that can just explain it a little better. Very, very briefly, the gist of it is it will allow the district to take the sixth graders out of the existing elementary schools and move them into this place where we'll have all the sixth grade, which does a number of things. It frees up additional classroom space in the other schools. Plus, it's a transition for the sixth graders without having them to put them directly in with like the junior high and high school kids, to have them as sort of a transition from an educational standpoint. There's a lot of benefits. But we're here to welcome your input as far as the relationship to the master plan, and if there's anything you'd like us to consider.
Sure.
As we work together with the town and for our students, but also for the community as a whole. So if I may, I'd like to turn it over to the architects.
Sure,
Mr. Campuzano.
Ms. Lake, could I just swear in? Do you raise your hand, please?
Yes, sir.
Do you swear from testimony you should give the board shall be the truth and without truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Can you state your name and basically your occupation for the record, please?
Yes. Peter Campuzano. I'm with the architectural firm USA Architects, and the spelling of my last name is C-A-M-P-I-S-A-N-O. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since this is a courtesy review, I'd like to ask the board's indulgence, if it's okay with you solely, that I have a young architect here who is going for his license, and I'd like him to present the plan to you.
Sure.
That's great.
Just break him in?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, look at this. So with me tonight is the business administrator from the school district, Mr. Sabahoglu, Also with me, Mr. Michael Bryson, our project manager, and I guess the man of the hour, Mr. Mark Bolos. Mark was the project architect. He's actively working it under Michael and myself. And again, just to reiterate, you may remember several years ago, a much larger project on this property, different architect. This is an attempt to address some, not all, but at least some of the overcrowding. And Mr. Krut was correct. We call it addition through subtraction. We're taking about a third of the kids from north, 65 kids, sixth graders from north, the same from east, middle school and academy, bringing them all over. It's about 120 round numbers, new kids coming over. No new addition of teachers. Everybody's in district. It's just a reallocation of basically eggs in a basket, so to speak. This frees up room at academy, sorely needed, and the other schools. The annex is simply that. It will be an addition, although not connected. It is an annex, and it will be attached to North Dover. Stolen some of the kids' thunder, but I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Bolos right now as soon as he's ready. Everything that you see is up there. We could put up boards. We brought boards. If you're okay with that, we'll keep it up there. You tell us. But we did bring a rendering to show you guys what we're working at with the Board of Education right now.
Okay. I think since he's setting up the boards, let's go ahead
let's,
and have
let's
the
set
board
up the
board,
Mark. Why don't you come over here?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to put the rendering board. The other drawings are still valid. The rendering was developed recently, I thought, to show it.
Okay.
I just need to swear you in before you start testifying.
Yeah,
that's
well,
all. If you could raise your hand, sir. Do you swear or affirm testimony you should give the board to be the truth and the entire truth?
I do.
Could you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Mark Bolos, M-A-R-K-B-O-L-O-S.
And you're employed as an architect? Or are you a licensed architect? At this
point? I am a designer.
Okay, thank you.
I've taken some exams, but I'm currently a designer.
That's fine, thank you.
Okay, do you need a pointer? Have a pointer?
That'd be nice. Thank you, everyone, for your time today. As previously stated, my name is Mark Bolos. I'm a designer for USA Architects. And today, we're going to be presenting our proposed sixth-grade annex for Dover Public Schools. So the first image we have in front of us is the proposed project site, which is situated between North Dover Elementary School up here, Dover High School below, situated right in between it. As previously mentioned, the existing site is on top of tennis courts and an existing asphalt paving. And essentially, what we've done is come up with an idea to help alleviate, not completely solve, but help alleviate the overcrowding issue that Dover Public Schools has been experiencing. Right now, how it is situated, because it is on top of tennis courts and asphalt paving, that is impervious surface, which means to add a building on top of this, we are drastically mitigating the amount of additional impervious surface that would be needed to house this site, which is a great benefit. Another, you know, Mr. Camposano had previously mentioned that, you know, there was a referendum a few years ago, and a little bit of history on that. There was originally proposed to be a large building on this site. One of the concerns that was mentioned at the time was, rightfully so, the concern about flooding. Now, what I will say is about the annex, we are proposing that it is raised 4 feet above the tennis courts. Because of this, and because of the site around the annex, meaning the North Dover Elementary School and the Dover High School, is relatively flat, that would make the first floor of the annex be about 4 feet above the finished floor for both of these schools, therefore mitigating flooding concerns because the existing schools would experience flooding before the annex would even get the chance to. In terms of traffic, there is an additional bus loop that we've created here, and as we go to the next image, you will see that a little bit better. Right, so there's an additional bus loop that we've created, and what that allows is for direct access to the annex, and how we're going to design it is vehicles will come in from Grace Street. They'll use the drop-off lane to pick up or drop off the students. There will be about 3 to 4 large buses that would be using this maximum, and they would be able to just loop back onto Grace Street and exit from where they came from without adding additional congestion to the site. And also in terms of traffic, what we've been discussing with the district is staggering the start and end times for the annex compared to North Dover and to Dover High School, meaning that we're not going to have vehicles competing for circulation, essentially, because it's going to be a different time than the other two schools. Now, in terms of our proposed layout for the school itself, it's very simple. It's about 14 classrooms, a couple specialty rooms, special education rooms, a small administrative suite, and a large group instruction or multi-purpose space that will be used for lunch and also for gym classes. It could even be used for night meetings if need be. And there is no kitchen for it. It's going to be a satellite kitchen that is delivering the food. Very simple, no need for an additional kitchen. And also because it is in close proximity to two schools already, it makes lunch service a little bit easier in our opinion. Now in terms of aesthetic, if you could just turn your board around, please. In terms of aesthetic, this is a proposed rendering that we created for the annex. We are facing the main entrance. We are facing the main entrance in this rendering. So the main entrance is ADA accessible. There's a ramp going up into it, and there's also the stairs, because the building, as I mentioned before, is about 4 feet raised above grade. Pays a little nod to Dover School colors, black and orange, and the rest is very simple. It is a stone veneer with vinyl siding. As previously mentioned, this is modular construction, modular wood construction to be exact, and if anyone is not familiar with what that is, very simply, it is when the building is built piecemeal into pieces, modules, in a remote location, and what is very efficient about it is while those are being built, the site can be prepared to receive those modules from when they are ready. So when the site is ready and when the modules are ready, they are then shipped over to the site and they are mated together. And this process happens very quickly. We as a firm and also myself personally have experience in seeing this process unfold, and I could tell you it does happen very quickly in a matter of several days. But one item I'd like you to pay attention to is that this doesn't look like a modular building, right? And that's the entire point. It is meant to be a permanent home for sixth graders, and we are treating it as such. And there's about 200 students that will be using the annex, but there's already sixth graders scattered throughout the district. North Dover Elementary School, which is a couple hundred feet away, also Academy Street and Dover Middle School. This serves as a consolidated home for these sixth graders to prepare them for their journey to go to the higher grade levels, kind of create a consolidated home for them. They're all familiar with each other, and it kind of eases that transition to going into the upper grade level. So we feel that it's an appropriate cohort to build an annex for. Thank you. That's the concept. Any questions?
I like the design. It looks beautiful on your presentation.
Thank you.
The fact that the school systems need more classrooms, I guess this addresses it pretty good.
It does.
Why don't you quickly explain the design? What's the materials coming from the ground up?
Coming from the ground up? Yeah.
Stone.
Right. So there's stone on either side of what you see is orange and black. Above the stone is vinyl siding, and then the main entrance is alternating orange and black metal panels. Also, where it says North Dover Annex, that would also be metal panel, and even the overhang is an orange metal panel. Three materials total. Metal panels for the main entrance portion and stone and vinyl siding for the rest of the building.
That's a permanent structure, right?
Yes.
Quick question. It says it's going to be built here atop existing asphalt tennis courts and bus parking lot. So where are the buses going to be parked once that building is built?
The district has been in discussion about that, and I would defer to them, but they are looking at alternative homes as we speak for that.
Because I got rumors that the buses are going to be parked in the residential neighborhood off of McFarland Street, and there's a bunch of homeowners that are not happy with it.
I'm not entirely sure of what the final destination is. Like I said, I would defer to the district about this.
We'll certainly address that with the board. The board and the council will certainly work it on.
What's going on outside of here, and let me tell you, my phone is running off the hook from my neighborhood, that they were planning on creating a parking lot where Dover has the fireworks, using part of that park. By Hamilton Field, and residents are fuming for that. So that's something that should be addressed, as a show of respect for the community. And before anything is done, that should be addressed so the neighbors and homeowners.
We will take your concern back to the Board of Education and talk to the superintendent, who's hope falls away at graduation tonight. Otherwise, he would.
Okay.
See, putting sixth graders near a high school is a good transition. I don't want my sixth grader near high school, but that just seems, it's a nice picture, but it doesn't do anything for me, honestly.
I have a couple concerns myself. I know you said that this building is going on top of the existing tenants' court. You already have impervious coverage there, impervious services there. However, Steve can attest to this firsthand, is that the town of Dover did a major drainage project over on Gray Street. I'm sorry, not Gray Street. Gray Street. A year or two ago. And White Street, we did a drainage improvement project there. We installed a lot of underground storage under there for the problem that we were having in that area. Good portion of the stormwater that we're collecting in that system is coming from the school site. Okay, so I would like to see, even though we're putting this building over existing impervious coverage, to see at least maybe a reduction in the amount of stormwater that comes off of this site. Perhaps put in some underground storage, capture some of that before it goes into the public system. Okay, I'd like to see a reduction in the amount of water that comes from this site into the stormwater system. So if that's something that can be incorporated into your plan, I think that's a really good thing for the residents that live in that area over on White Street and Gray Street. If it's a big problem, it was a big problem, it's gotten better. Still not 100%, but we made a big improvement over there, and I'd like to see another, maybe we can make even a better improvement by putting some on-site stormwater.
Goal would be to reduce the amount of storm.
Yeah, like if you could collect the roof runoff and put it into some underground storage, detention, that would be great. I think that would go a long way with the residents up there, because it will help the amount of water that comes off of this site. Okay, so I think that's a plus for the neighborhood. And secondly, I'm a little concerned about, you said buses are coming in off of Gray Street, and they're coming in and they're dropping the students off in front of the school, and they would be making a left and coming back out. Is that what you're planning there?
That's correct.
If they're dropping off in front of the school, they're going to make a left to where that existing parking area is and make that left there. Is that something?
No, not so. It would not be to the existing parking area. The latest plans that we've been developing in conjunction with our civil engineers is that they would, before reaching that parking area, make a left and then go back from where they came.
Can you point me with the pointer? Sure. Can you show me where the buses are going to come, please?
So they'll enter through here.
Okay.
And then they'll be able to loop back around.
So they're going to make a left there.
A semicircle loop.
Right. It won't be as aggressive.
A wide open entrance. So we don't want them going back through north. So it's going to be a wide semicircle back to the high school lot where it's going. Instead of a left and a left, a wide semicircle.
Maybe you can just
what we're looking for. So you see that there, right? That's the existing road.
Yes.
Right? We don't want it, it'll be around like that. Something wide.
Something wide enough for a bus off.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That,
that's my turning radius, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. We've looked at that.
Yeah. That's going to eliminate some parking as well, right?
That looks like it will eliminate some parking, yeah.
Very little. And that's another reason why we're going to keep more parking by doing that.
Then you're also going to extending the sanitary sewer line to connect the business building as well.
From taking care of our engineers are taking care of all utilities, electric, sewer, water.
How about garbage? I don't see any proposed like garbage area.
You're going to have a dumpster location or something?
We're still in the process of the designing that.
I'd like to hear some of the alternatives to this plan that we discussed.
Let's see. That's a great question. We've been working for the better part of 2 years trying to figure out how we go about alleviating approximately 1,000 unhoused students. We looked at Academy, possibly adding an Academy, could not. Looked at possibly adding at both North and East, found it difficult. We did add 4 classrooms, and I believe we were before this committee a year or so ago to ask you for the what was known as trailers at the time, with their modular units. We picked up 4 classrooms there. We have looked at or tried to look at property. We even looked at the old Dover High School. We looked at other properties, and the price tags were difficult to wrap our heads around. We looked at, and we reported this board with Newberry. We looked at Newberry, but that was more of a high school setting. With this, it gives the opportunity of 14 additional classrooms without buying property, with existing infrastructure, to at least alleviate some of the overcrowding. And again, this is just one step of many as they try to figure out how they're going to address their still continuing overcrowding problems.
It just doesn't make sense to me where we have available education facilities in town and we're not taking advantage of them. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't make sense to me. You have a Joe Kubert school that has... I don't know how many times.
The Joe Kubert School that just sold to County College.
I'm sorry, Bill?
It's sold.
It sold to County College. County College.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And that's a great point, but we looked at the Kubert School. What was a factor is the fact that it was a B use because it was an educational facility above the 12th grade. We would have to take that B use and convert it to an E use. So we're talking about a change in use. When we talk about a change in use, we went through that process, and the dollars to spend, including the dollars to buy it, to bring everything up to today's codes, right, through the rehab code, isn't that right?
Correct.
UCC, Uniform Construction Code, was not feasible. It just simply wasn't. There were issues with ADA. There were issues with fresh air and ventilation. There was no place to put any kind of large group instruction room, and that's one of the reasons why, although they looked at it seriously, they took a good hard look at it. I was one of the people that were there talking to them with it. But it seems viable, but it just wasn't fiscally viable because of the change in use also.
What do you say you have over 1,000 unhoused students? What does that mean?
That's a great question. It's a formula developed by the Department of Education that allots a certain percentage of square foot for every student to allow them to have a thorough and efficient education. Every student should be allowed X number of square feet. The higher up in grades you go, the more square foot you go. Obviously, a high school it would require more than first or second grader. Based on that, certain school sizes and numbers of classrooms are modeled. The fact that you are under by 1,000 does not mean there's 1,000 kids extra. It just And not only that, because you're calculated as 1,000 students, for every place that you build, we will give you aid up to that calculated 1,000 students. So the district is getting aid for this. The state of New Jersey is partnering with Dover and providing, I believe, 40% of the overall cost of the project because they see the seriousness of the town and its overcrowding.
Is the school doing anything about to control it, the 1,000 overcut that you're saying?
Well, my neighbor. Yeah.
Is the school doing anything to crack down on people that don't reside in Dover get taxied up here? Because I've seen them. And they can live in Wharton, they can live in Denville, they can live in Rockaway, and they're going to Dover schools. Are they doing anything to crack down on people that don't belong here, don't pay taxes to this town?
Like I said, it's above my pay grade. It's something maybe you talk to the superintendent about, you talk to the district directly about. Have a joint meeting.
Swear a firm testimony should give the board should be the truth and the entire truth.
Yes.
Can you state spell your name for the record, please?
Attila Sabola, A-T-I-L-L-A. It's my the first name.
Okay. And your last name?
S-A-B-A-H-O-G-L-U. Sabola.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry for that. I was just introduced, but we have like a private firm for a residency check. If the mail comes back, it's not delivered, we send the person, and we actually have a private firm to check this. So
you got a private firm checking on all the students? How many students does the school have now?
Right now, 3,500.
3,500. And you got done an audit on all 3,500?
No, I'm saying that if the mail comes back undelivered, we can only do certain things by law. We check the utility bills and everything else when they do registration. But if they move to somewhere, the only thing we can find out is if something's wrong with the mailing or if it doesn't get through, then we can do residency check. Otherwise, there's no way to do 3,500 kids one by one.
So let me get this straight. If the mail doesn't come back undelivered, you let it go?
We reach out to firms, so they go and do the residency check.
Okay, if I may, I've been involved with some of the residency issues. If the district becomes aware that there's a potential residency problem, they have a firm that double does a check. I know we've had situations where over the years where there's surveillance done, and so we're always looking to follow up on residency issues, and we've had residency hearings and things like that. The way it's a complicated process. If the students are enrolled, it's not so easy in order to disenroll a student. You can't just say, you don't live here, you're out. You have to send a notice, they have rights under the law, we have to have a hearing, and then if they appeal to the Commissioner of Education, they get to stay while the appeal is pending. It's a sort of complex process. But the district has not only, in other words, it's not just district people calling and making calls, they've actually engaged a company to help with residency checks and residency searches. Yeah. It's just interesting because I represent other school districts as well. And you see certain places have a large influx of students trying to come from other places. I'm not sure if Dover is in one of those situations, but they absolutely try to take it. The answer to your basic question of do you do anything to check on this, is yes.
Let me ask a question. I have my daughter's all graduated from Dover High School, and they talk a lot. And there's a lot of talk out there. There's a lot of students that are not from Dover, and people know they're not from Dover. They're not really doing much about it because probably the process is, like you say, a little harder, so they let it go. Wouldn't it be better, instead of hiring private firms that don't live in Dover, maybe hire?
I think we're getting a little off target here. This is more about just the plan in front of you tonight.
Yeah.
Obviously, the school board has. You would probably want to do a school board meeting and adjust that.
They're having this plan because they got a problem with overcrowding.
No, I know.
So it goes. It's related.
No, it is related.
Do we need it or not?
Yeah.
But we just don't have really any jurisdiction over that area.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. This is more. You're commenting on the plan. Obviously, like I said, it is an interesting issue.
They're related,
You probably want to go to a school board meeting and raise that to the school board.
If this passes this board tonight. we all agree.
There is no voting.
It's not voting.
But if we meet the master plan, I get that part. But there's going to be another meeting with the mayor and his board, right?
Correct.
That's the time to come.
The presentation, it has to go up and has to get approved by the mayor and council.
Yeah, my whole thing is they're related. I know what you're saying.
That's why we're trying to address your.
Perhaps you guys can get citizens of Dover to be part of a committee board that do research instead of outsiders that are not from town.
Yeah, just again, we're trying to address your question.
Yeah.
It's not what they're using is a firm to assist with the investigation part. That's all. But if someone reports someone that it will be investigated. If a citizen in town says, "Hey, we think these people aren't living in town," it will be investigated. So they do that as well.
I have a question. Is this building in 5 years? Is this building still going to be here, or is there a plan for a more permanent structure?
This building will be here in 5 years.
Okay.
It's stated as permanent.
I have one question. Has there been any discussions at all with the Diocese of Patterson relative to the Sacred Heart School?
I believe they're using the Sacred Heart School right now.
No, that's St. Mary's and Morgan.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes.
There has been.
Codes required for public schools and things like that, and the codes that it may have been different than whether it was a Catholic school or whatever. It ends up being incredibly expensive to do the required renovations and there may be other reasons that it doesn't meet the needs. I could just say generally, Sacred Heart, it has been discussed with the Diocese of Patterson.
You're getting funding to build this school, 40%, you said, right?
For this particular project, yes.
And what does a project like this cost? Just out of curiosity.
$12.2 million.
I have another question. I know that you said that the teachers and everything are all on, the students are already in the system, right? Mm-hmm. But you're relocating the number of teachers and stuff. You'll be relocating the number of teachers to this location. I know the school and the parking lots themselves currently can't handle the number of students that park there and the number of teachers that park there. And they're parking all down Gray Street and White Street. They're taking up parking in front of people's houses and all over the residential neighborhood there. Has there been any consideration about adding additional parking for the teachers and the increase in the number of teachers and to accommodate some additional parking for the students and or teachers that are already there?
Yes and yes. Yes, we're looking at creative ways to increase the number of parking and the number of parking requirements. One, because it's an annex. Two, because we're bringing about 120 kids over and 60 from the existing north. Thinking that's parking anyway, that the teachers are already here. A third is the teachers and staff are already here. We're looking at ways to increase the parking revenue.
This project is trying to wrap my hands around this a bit. But this project is about $12 million. I'm convinced, I'd almost take a bet that the Diocese of Patterson would listen to you, okay, for a hell of a lot less than $12 million, including the renovations and do what you have to do. Use that facility.
I think you have a valuable point, and I think that we can explore that option. This is not a this or that or here or there option. It's not this or. It could be this and, because that's what we're trying to present you. This is just the first in a series of attempts to alleviate the overcrowding. Your idea will be brought back before the board and we'll certainly discuss it. Why not?
If you need some help talking to the Diocese of Patterson, you let me know.
a lot of, I forget the, what the votes were, but there was only 300 guesses for a new school. Dover spoke 2 years ago and said they don't want this. We don't need this. But yet somehow it's still here and it's being shoved down our throats. How'd that go around without being a referendum? Without having a referendum?
It was funded through a lease purchase agreement, which is allowable under
loophole.
If I recall that, the referendum was for like 82. Yeah.
Huh?
I think the referendum was for like 80 million.
80 million. Yeah.
70 years.
Still 12, too.
My main concern is the parking. I would like that to be addressed for the community. Like, what are we going to do with the buses? Are they going to be taking part of the Hamilton Fields Club?
Hamilton
Fields. Or not? Where are they going? Because that's residential neighborhoods there. It is congested as it is now because it's a one-way street right there in McFarland by where those doctors are. And that's bumper to bumper morning and afternoon. I mean, you can't get through there. So if you add buses to that parking lot, it's only going to be worse for the neighborhood.
Yeah,
so I would like that addressed, at least that.
Yeah, you know, what we're going to do is, once this is done, I'm going to write a letter to the mayor and council then, raising all your issues.
Mm-hmm.
But this still goes up anyway. I mean, like I said, you don't have the authority to say, come back with this address, and then we'll talk about it. It's going up regardless. So we're more or less just kind of put your concerns on the record up, then put them in a letter to the mayor and council with the application saying, you know, this is what was raised, and these are the board's concerns before you want the mayor and council to take these things into consideration before they approve this plan.
I do have one more curious question about the increase in students over, let's say, 3 years ago. What was the student issue then? How many, wasn't 1,000, was it 500? Did it go tenfold?
Yeah, we don't know that. We'd have to look
into it.
I think what the board is asking, though, is trying to get at is this being mandated by, like, is it being mandated by law, or is this being done voluntarily to kind of get ahead of a problem?
I think this is a serious overcrowding problem. And I think that there was a proposed referendum a few years ago for like $70 or $80 million to try to, in one swoop, I guess, address most of the overcrowding problems. I think the town of Dover spoke, if I recall, resoundingly, indicating that they were not in favor of that $80 million referendum project. However, the overcrowding remains.
So the
district is trying, you know, understanding that the community has spoken, is trying to come up with ways to try to ease the overcrowding without doing that like major project, and that's where we are. But obviously we take everything into consideration.
I'm sure they want to, there's a certain number of children they want per classroom and things like that.
Oh yeah, and there are, you know, recommendations for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But whether the state could come in and say you must build, you know, that I don't know.
I'm just curious for myself as well.
Has there been any consideration about going multiple stories with a smaller building, with a smaller footprint that would allow some additional area for parking and stuff on site as opposed and less impervious coverage and less building coverage?
We did look at that, but that would actually increase the cost through vertical circulation. We're now instituting an elevator, we're instituting multiple stair towers, multiple means of egress. There are certain things that kick in code-wise if you're going to a 34 with public schools. This is probably the most viable option in terms of dollars to go modular, right? To not disrupt an active school site, right, except for some foundation work, minimal amount of workers, and then within a few short weeks, 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks, with a print, you know, you're erecting this like an erector set, and then you're doing inside work. So, you know, and plus the height, we try to take as many things into consideration, cost being a factor, overcrowding being a factor, try to marry in what they could actually afford. In terms
How is this being funded? The 12, where are the 12 million point two coming from?
I believe it's coming through.
Out of 12.2, we put in this year's budget $9 million. Some of the funds coming from the capital reserve we already have, and some of the other ones we give away some projects and other buildings, so we make room for that. And also we did some savings, bringing some pre-K classrooms in district. We saved like $2 million. We use that too. And also we did a reduction in force. We abolished six positions. There's another like 600,000-700,000. So we made the money for the phase one. And the following year is going to be the phase two, $3.2 million, and we're going to be done.
So this is not taxpayer funded at all?
I mean, the tax save out of our budget is $22 million versus our budget is $100 million. Most of the money comes from the state. So you can do the ratio of how much comes from the taxpayers, and so it's like a mixed budget, like a tax levy and the state aid portion. State
but it's not a like the referendum would have been.
Yeah, it's not going to be a separate thing.
Not,
yeah.
There's not like a separate tax bill. It's coming through the district budget.
Yeah, I mean, capital reserve portion is totally our reserve that accumulated years that we save money, and the other portion is built into budget with the savings we did.
Did you just say you guys got rid of six teachers?
No six teachers. We abolished some positions, but none of the teachers. It's in the admin.
And administration, right?
Yeah, administration, some secretaries, teachers. Yeah. No, we didn't do any teacher reduction, yeah. We just tried to be more efficient, so some of the people like took more responsibility and we demolished the position, abolished the position.
Was Elon Musk part of that? So the question at hand is, does this plan conform to our master plan?
I think we're voting on that, are we?
No, you're not voting on it tonight. No. Obviously,
we're moving it up with concerns.
The concerns, but
right? I think we should expect to recommend. Typically, the way it works is that the board would make any recommendations that they would like the Board of Education to take into consideration and consider.
And the recommendations I have so far that I think are the most prevalent ones that were raised were, number one, that they like the reconsideration of the drainage from school grounds, that there be some on-site stormwater retention done. Concerns about obviously the bus parking, where the bus parking is going to go, where there's going to be replacements. Concerns about obviously the additional parking that's going to be needed on site as well. And although this isn't necessarily within the master plan, it was raised several times to encourage the school board to continue to investigate alternative sites that may be more fiscally responsible for the township. And the last thing is, and also looking at possibly different design with multiple stories on a smaller footprint.
Right.
That covers it.
Those are the issues that kind of would touch the master plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be then the board's concerns, and that'll go to the mayor and council, and that'll be part of the package that goes up to the mayor and council that this is what the board is worried about with this project. But you don't get to say whether or not you approve it or not. It's right. Not like a typical application.
We can't trumpetize it?
No, you can't knock it down, no.
Just kidding. Because I heard he's a dictator.
I just have one more comment. I'm assuming that a more final site plan for this application or for your building is going to include lighting, landscaping, all that good stuff.
In general terms, lighting will be wall packs on the building. There will not be any large cobra heads going in. It's primarily for security, certainly minimal landscaping as needed, all utilities. Obviously, we're going to submit for building permits with all utilities. And yes, our engineers are French and Perillo Associates.
Signage and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff,
yeah.
That'll all come before this board again?
No.
No.
We didn't. I don't believe we're looking for an outside sign specifically for this, primarily because it's an end. It's essentially North Dover Elementary School.
Okay.
So
okay. Any anyone else on the board have anything to add or questions? There's no one in the public really to ask, so.
I mean, you can open it up to public. If anyone wants to comment, they have the right to comment, so you might as well open it up to public.
Does anyone in the public wish to comment on this?
Okay. Not really.
So, does this board agree that we're going to move this up to the board, the mayor's board? And this is Section 31A is what they're moving.
I don't know. I don't think it does.
No, I'm not aware of that being there.
I think the recommendations
are going to come from this board.
Yeah.
The
okay.
recommendations are going to come from this board.
Yeah, so we're going to make the recommendations.
Okay, so let's move it forward then.
Okay. So obviously then, so this isn't, I will be addressing the letter then to the school board.
Yes, okay. Exactly. That's what we've had when we've been before this board before.
Okay.
We'll get a letter explaining what the recommendations are from the board.
Okay.
We'll take them all into consideration.
I thought when I read the statute today, I said something about recommending it to the meeting. I guess not, no. Okay. I read something that wasn't there, obviously.
I understand.
So that's what it'll do. It'll be addressed into the school board that these are recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just the process. So it goes to the school board, and then they'll have a meeting about it. If anyone on this board or anyone in the public wishes to attend those meetings and have comments and concerns, could actually do that.
I don't know if there's any more open public meetings regarding this.
Well, not necessarily regarding this at any time, but yeah.
You could just go to a school board meeting and bring it up.
Yeah, we have school board meetings regularly.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your input.
I like the design, by the way. It's nice.
Thank you.
He did a good job.
You did a good job. You're on the right track.
Yeah, very nice job.
Sure. Thank you. Nice meeting you. Good luck with that.
Is the
owl still attacked? Thank you, Mr. Trump.
The next, I think, next issue is this, the historic board.
Right.
Okay, so this is my first time ever dealing with something like this, too, so I'm kind of learning as we go here. Basically, from what I understand, is the historic board, they were looking to put themselves in position to get grants from the state for additional funding. In order to do that, they had to amend their bylaws, or what did they call it here?
The ordinance, amending the ordinance?
Yeah, their ordinance, and the ordinance was attached then to your notes here. So they made some minor changes to the ordinance, and the minor changes for the ordinance were to get them in a position so that they could make applications to the state for additional grant money. So the changes that I reviewed really had no impact on anything that this board would be concerned about. They were really minor changes. I'm kind of not even sure why it's being put in front of us, but that may just have to be the route.
I can actually tell you.
That may just have to be the route that it takes. But.
I happen to sit on the Historic Preservation Commission.
Oh, okay. Maybe you could give us a better idea than what this is about.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it. So there's quite a few properties in Dover that are in their historic buildings. The historic district needs to be expanded in order to incorporate some of the historic buildings in town. And so in order to expand the district, we have to put some changes into some of our ordinances to help us with those historic buildings and seeking funds from the state and the federal government to preserve some of those buildings as much as possible. The way that reflects on the owners of the buildings are, if the building is designated, you know, historic, that the buildings have to be restored or repaired in a certain way, you know, in accordance with the historic values, we'll say. So these ordinances actually will impact those things in the Historic Preservation Commission, allowing them to be able to, you know, have impact on those sites.
So this ordinance doesn't actually expand the historic district. It just sets the framework for you to maybe expand it at a future date and to get funding to help restore some of those buildings within the district.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
And I guess the only impact on this board would be if an application for one of those properties comes in front of this board, the board has to take into consideration the historic requirements as well when
they're
voting on the application.
Yeah.
So what do we have to do as a board with this at this moment? Do we have to just make a motion to accept those changes?
Basically, make a motion and take a vote to address the changes. And if so, there's also and vote. There should probably be two separate votes because then there's also an ordinance attached as well.
Well, there's a resolution that was given.
A resolution.
But that resolution is just a copy of what the mayor, what the Historic Commission already approved.
But it's actually, they're asking that it be signed by the chairman of the planning board.
No, that was a mistake.
Oh, that's a mistake?
Yeah. Did you see the one I attached to you?
Oh, no, I have this one. Okay.
Yeah, it was signed by the chairman of the Historic Preservation Commission.
Okay, so then at this point, then we're simply just approving, taking a vote to approve the amendments.
And I would just offer, it's like any other land use ordinance, it's a master plan consistency determination that this historic preservation ordinance is consistent or not substantially inconsistent with your master plan. We know historic preservation is a fundamental element in the master plan, so I think it's pretty much a no-brainer, but I'll leave it to the board.
Okay, does anyone on the board have any questions or concerns or comments on this?
I'll make a motion that we pass the revisions to this ordinance and find that it's consistent with the existing master plan.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call.
Chairman Rivera?
Yes.
Commissioner Vizioli?
Yes.
Commissioner Orama?
Yes.
Councilman Santana?
Yes.
Commissioner Giffen?
Yes.
Commissioner Vizioli?
Yes.
I did. Right. Commissioner Riley?
Yes.
Unanimous.
All right. I can give it to you.
Okay.
So there's my. Okay, that being moved forward, is there any old business anyone wants to talk about?
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. McDonough has something to talk about.
I'm only sorry. Give you 1 minute, Mr. Yes. Chairman, because tonight I was going to present the Fair Share Housing Plan to the board. It's not fully cooked, so thanking the board for coming out next week to do this. We'll do it more formally. It's going to be a big document. I didn't want you all to be overwhelmed by it. It's what's required by the statute. It's pretty simple. It's just a look forward for the next 10 years of what or how you're going to meet your affordable housing obligation here in the community. Your affordable housing obligation is not big. It's about 113 units, actually 85 we can get it down to with the credits. That would be about 8 or 9 units a year. I think you can easily grab them with all these redevelopment sites that we're looking at over by the train station, over by Bassett Highway. It's a very easy grab. And what we've done is put together some redevelopment plans, one for Bassett Highway, one for the Lot B, the Lot C, and one over for Harry Laurie, where you could capture those units. So I think you could get those 85 units on five sites. We'll give you a little more detail next week, but I just didn't want you all to be overwhelmed if we dump this weekend on you a 300-page document and think that you have to read it. You don't have to read it. It's going to be pretty straightforward as we go forward next week. So anyhow, I just wanted to set you all up for that.
Yeah.
I apologize it's not ready for today. We have to go back and look at what you've done from an affordable housing standpoint in the past and put those financials together. They're tough to compile. You have monies that come in your Affordable Housing Trust Fund and monies that go out to the people who need it for affordable housing and rehabilitation. It's part of this plan, and we have to process that, so that's what we're trying to do. So we need one more week.
Mm-hmm. Please take your 1 week.
Yep. Right. So we'll do that next
time. I've been told that. That's quite a bit there.
So that's this special meeting for next?
That's
the 26th.
The only thing we're talking about is this. I don't think I'll be particularly long-winded. I'll give you the details, but it's something we have to do by June 30th. So a lot of towns are doing the same thing.
Okay. Is there anything you want to talk about in that now that would ease anything or not really?
I don't know what I can do or can't do outside of a public. I mean, it's general now, but...
I mean, you're giving the formal presentation now. If you want to hit the broad points out, I mean,
we don't have a full board anyways, but...
Yeah, I'll do a one-minute thing up here so you know what the parts are. Okay, so first part of an affordable housing plan is the housing element. It's about 20 pages or so, and you're going to see a lot of tables in here. It's just statistical information, the housing stock, the age of the stock, the condition of the stock. It's all factual stuff. That's the housing element. That's probably the easiest part because it's all just statistical and reporting. The second part gets a little more complicated. That's the fair share plan, and that's how this community will plan for future affordable housing, meeting your obligation, which is a state mandate of 113 units in the next 10 years. You get some bonus credits for being by transit, for being and using redevelopment. That would take your obligation down to about 85 units. Again, that's the 8 to 9 that you would need over the next 10 years. This is a plan that would go from 2025 to 2035. So again, it's a 10-year plan. How you get those 8 to 9 units, again, comes back to these redevelopment plans. Over at Bassett Highway, we've carved out a site. They're all large parking lot sites where we're targeting, again, 17 units there on lots B and C, another 17 units each. Also on the old transit maintenance yard, we're looking at another 17 units. And then lastly, over at the Harry Laurie site, redevelopment for 17 units. So,
when you say 17 units, is that 17?
Affordable units.
Affordable units. So how many units do you think are you projecting?
Probably 1,000 with the market. You know, it's usually a 20% set.
Is there about 1,000 to get 34?
It's about 1,000 to get to the 84. Yes.
1,000 for the 84, okay.
Yeah. Well, that was the next point. This type of housing generally doesn't produce that school age population. It's a lot like what you see over with that Meridia building where you've got the 1 or 2 bedroom units that tend not to produce those kids. I'd be curious to see how many are actually coming out of
that's
that.
That's right. Because there's overcrowding in the schools, right?
Yeah.
And it's not a whole lot of new stuff going up. I mean, there's some homes going up, but it's interesting because we're getting hit with property taxes that are going up.
I was very surprised to see that Dover had an affordable housing obligation in the first place. I would think you've always been there with your rehab of your existing stock. So I think that's another thing we can look at, how the state is treating us in terms of that obligation as well. But every time you need a developer to put in affordable housing, he's going to go grab his market rate as well. There's no developer that's volunteering to do it, unfortunately. So we have to zone for it. That's the state requirement, and one way or the other, it's the town obligation to produce 85 affordable units in the next 10 years, and this is the plan that we put together as to how we get there without having to build it ourselves.
Okay.
That's the details. I mean, there's a lot of details in these plans here. Design elements, we've called out for real nice, attractive housing projects, streetscape, landscape lighting, architectural details, all of those get baked in into the plan, and we can certainly refine that as we go forward. But the main thing I wanted to let the board know is five sites, 17 units each. That's really it in a nutshell.
And again, this is the board is just looking at this for master plan compliance.
This is your, just like the master plan is yours, it's not council's, it's yours. Ordinances are the council. This is something you would actually adopt. So we're going to see if we can get you to move on adopting this next week so we can meet our June 30th deadline. Our redevelopment council is going to have to file this with the state by June 30th. So that's why we're doing this.
Just out of curiosity, what happens if it tanks and then June 30th?
Do you want to explain the builder's remedy? What happens if you don't meet your affordable housing obligation?
If you don't meet your affordable housing obligation or you don't meet the plan, as John said, basically what happens is a builder's remedy where the builder will come in and will sue the town because the town obviously isn't meeting its obligation.
It's so fair share obligation.
Yeah, so the builder comes in and sits before the court and says, look, I'm trying to help the town. I'm trying to help them reach their requirement, but they're not letting me. So the judge will turn around and say, okay, we're going to appoint a special master to sit over the applications. So basically what would happen is that all those applications would come in front of everybody. You'd sit here. There'd be a special master probably sitting at one of these tables. And that special master basically makes all the decisions on everything that happens. That special master is tasked with getting the town in compliance with affordable housing. So that means pretty much you lose control.
Takes the control out of
over everything, and pretty much, these builders then pretty much walk in with plans.
I bet there are towns out there now where if they don't file by June 30th, there are builders lining up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen here, by the way. I don't think you have builders lining up to sue the town, but you never know who's out there.
I mean, I can tell you, like in East Hanover, where I'm board attorney.
That's a town that's been hit hard.
Yeah, we're getting hit with a lot of this, and basically we're settling with a lot of the builders, and what happens, so by settling with them, when they come in, their application is getting approved, but the board still has a lot of control over how it's being designed, any type of landscaping, amenities, because all these are obviously condos, townhouses, things like that, amenities are being offered, how it's being structured. A lot of the builders try to put all the affordable housing in one corner of the development, and obviously in East Hanover, the board demanded that the affordable housing be spread around so that it wasn't like any area stigmatized by saying that's the affordable housing side, So the board was able to still work with the builder and control a lot of how the final project would look. At the end of the day, the numbers were the numbers. You weren't getting rid of the numbers because obviously you have to hit certain numbers, and I mean, in our case, I think we were about 600 units to get 94 affordable housing units. So you had, we had a 600 unit plan, which also incorporated townhouses, condominiums, and apartment building rentals. So, I mean, obviously, you can be sure the town wasn't happy about it, but the other option was not settling with the builder and then letting the builder come in and pretty much probably have even a worse plan. So you're going next week, you're going to approve what he presents to you, because that's the only way you're going to keep control of anything. And as hard as that may be to swallow when you're doing it, it could be worse.
And I think we could always refine it. The main thing is we have to tell the state we're committed to 85 units over the next 10 years. The details of these plans, these redevelopment plans, you could always fine-tune them along the way, just so long as we don't drop those affordable units.
And like John said, honestly, 85 is nothing. Those numbers.
There's towns that are 1,000. There's a lot of towns. A lot of these single-family towns, that's all they have, are getting hit with these big apartment complexes.
I know Princeton got hit. They got hit with one development was over 1,000 units. And that was the one that Princeton actually got sued on their builder's remedy. And I think the original plan was to come in with 700. The town would deny the application, even though they had to approve it, but the board denied it anyway. They sued on it. They went on their builder's remedy, and they went and got 1,000.
Wow.
Englewood Cliffs played around with
Oh boy.
Played around with the affordable housing. They got hit. They got a special master appointed. the original plan got approved, and they had to pay for the applicant's council fees, which were $1.2 million. So the idea is you don't push back on this. You basically let your professionals, like John's saying, tweak it as much as they can, play with the numbers, try to get the number down as much as they can, but at the end of the day, you don't play around with this one. This isn't where you draw your line in the sand and say, you know, I'm doing, you want to do what's right for the taxpayers, you go along with this. I mean, no one in the state likes it. I mean, there's, this has been a problem. This goes back to the Mount Laurel case of 1974. This has all started from 1974.
This is round four now.
There's a long, long history. There's a long, long history of this. So
we actually lost a big construction plan because of affordable housing. It was the Bassett Highway project. It was that development came before the board. We had schematics, we had plans, and all this stuff. And then affordable housing units, they demanded.
At the cost.
It, yeah, they said we're not doing this, and they pulled out.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Bill?
It was like 04 or 05.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think it was 20%.
And it's amazing the way they even calculated. I know in our town, the way they calculated the number was they look at all the buildable areas, kind of like John was saying. I know in East Hanover, they used the medians in Route 10. They calculated the square footage on the median. That was what they considered buildable property. I mean, that's how they come up with these numbers. They reach for every little inch that they can get to hammer you with as many units as they can hammer you with.
I worked in East Hanover for 27 years, right off of 10, next to Rick's Pool and Patio. And I saw East Hanover develop over the years. It's incredible what that town has gone through. And Route 10 is still Route 10. Traffic is bumper to bumper there.
Yep.
It's always been that
way. Well, it's gotten worse now, too, because Hanover has started developing Route 10. So it used to at least be able, once you had East Hanover freed up a little bit, so East Hanover didn't get it backed up. Now that Hanover's developing Route 10, East Hanover's going to get it backed up even further now. Yeah, Route 10's a disaster. I mean, the board in East Hanover is constantly battling with how they can try to alleviate some of that, but there's not much you can do once all that's been built.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to set the table for what's coming and not alarm you. And again, the details we can work out as we go. It's really just to get this in to show our commitment to the state.
I'm glad we talked about it now a little bit just to get a heads up on what's coming.
Yeah, kind of, if you talk to any of the board members, let them know. Like I said, it's not, you can put your comments in, but it's not a time to, like I said, draw that line in the sand because you're only going to end up hurting the town.
All right. Thank you.
Nobody likes it, but everyone has to do it.
Could be a five-man meeting then.
More or less, yeah.
All right. That seems to have wrapped up our meeting. Anybody have any questions or concerns? Want to talk about anything? Okay. We'll need a motion to
adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you both for your...
Thank you.
Yeah, that school one was
Tricky.